All right. You know, it doesn't get much better than a little bit of turbo, a little bit of danger zone at Cross Point, right? That just kicks off the morning well. We are in the series, as Eric said, at the movies, and we're wrapping it up today, taking a look at some of the spiritual threads in the blockbusters of this summer. This is a pretty good movie right here, and we're really using this as a jump-off point. So I'm really excited you're here today as we're wrapping this series up today. My name is Kurt, by the way. If we haven't met, it's great to have you here with us this morning at Cross Point. And today, we're going to kind of be looking at how there are certain things in the physical realm that mirror the spiritual realm, and how there are certain things that we can learn and understand in the physical realm that actually teach us about things in the spiritual realm. And so, you know, directly today, we're going to talk about how these things kind of connect to us growing in our awareness of God, growing in our understanding of God, growing in our capacity to experience God. And so, the interesting thing about Turbo, how many of you out of curiosity have seen the movie Turbo? That's about how many on our tech team this morning had seen it. And you know, what's interesting about this movie is Turbo wants to go fast. And the problem is he's a snail. All right, he's your ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill garden snail who is very, very slow. I mean, he is like slow. And he's like this race car, you know, captured and tied up inside a snail's shell. And you know, one day through this freak accident, this kind of lightning bolt moment, he gets infused with like nitrous. And all of a sudden, you know, he's genetically altered and he can go super fast. And you know, for many of us, this is kind of how we want our spiritual lives to be. You know, we you know, just kind of want God to kind of strike down. All of a sudden, man, we're just like totally there and experiencing God in all these transcendent, unique ways. And you know, it's one of those things that's just not the way that it happens. In fact, as we think about the physical world for a moment, how many of you, just out of curiosity, could run a marathon tomorrow morning if you woke up and decided to do so? Half marathon. Anyone? And do well. All right, like 4, 3, all right? So, you know, this is the way it is, right? We understand that to get up and to do well, to run a half marathon tomorrow, there are certain things that we have to do that actually prepare us, that actually, you know, build our strength, that would allow us to actually be successful at doing that. We get this in the physical realm. We get that we have to discipline ourselves and exert ourselves. And for some reason, when it comes to the spiritual realm, you know, to grow spiritually, we want to sense God. We want to experience more of God. We want more understanding of God. We want to have these transcendent moments, and yet, we want to experience this without any training. And so today, we're going to take a look at what it means to accelerate our growth. How do we accelerate our spiritual growth by building into some of the core fitness exercises that grow us spiritually? Because, you know, I think there are certain things that you want to experience that I believe you will not experience unless you work your core. All right, unless you work the core. There are certain things spiritually you're going to need. If you're following God, as you're going through life, there's certain things you're going to say, God, I kind of expect, I want you to move in this way in my life that you're not going to experience if you're not strengthening your core. There are bad things coming your way. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Someday, whether today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, something bad is going to come your way, and you're not going to have the endurance to go through that difficult thing if your core is not strong. You see, you see people having these transcendent moments, these places where you experience God's presence in unique ways, and we're like, man, I want some of that, and yet, you know, if our core is not strong, we're not capable of seeing God and work in some of the ways that he works because we haven't built the core. And so the core is the stuff that's important. In fact, core training is this. Core training is about exercising what matters. So, you know, a number of years ago when I was in high school, that's when I started working out, getting ready for sports, and I started doing weightlifting. I love doing this one right here. You ready? I'd stand right in front of the mirror, usually with my shirt off, and I'd do this number. I'd have weights in my hand, and I'd just do this. You know, you do this number, and then you go down to your side, and you know, I just keep doing these, because after you're done doing those, you know what happens? You walk around, and you're like this. You're like all like, you know, like you feel like you're all built up, and people give you, when I was in high school, people would always be like, man, you're so cut in your arms, and they don't say that to me anymore. But, you know, it was fun, because you like saw the results, and that's fun and all, but, you know, as I've got older, I just recently started doing stuff like this, you know, where I'm like on the floor, and I'm like, doing this number, and then you do this right here, and you know, and in fact, the other day, this is called a plank if you've never done this, and I was doing one of these numbers the other day at home, where you kind of settle your core, and then you know, do this. This is called balancing the cat right here. And so I'm down, like, you know, doing this, and my kids all of a sudden are at the door, like, snickering, and they're like, I'm down here, like, grunting. I'm like, ugh! You know, and they're like laughing. They're like, Dad, that is not hard. I'm like, hey, give yourself 4 decades and see if you can do that, all right? I'm a little further down the road than you are. And what's interesting about this is, you know, when I get up from doing these things, I don't necessarily look any better, right? And yet, whew, that was a call out right there. And yet, what's interesting is that there's something stabilizing that happens when I build my core. And I think this is one of the reasons that, you know, many of us don't do core stuff. Because you don't see the results of the core right away. I mean, when you do spiritual core exercises, you're not necessarily always, you know, nobody's noticing those things. And so, you know, these are the things that actually lead to spiritual greatness. And so, you know, one of my heroes, actually my biggest hero, is a guy by the name of Jesus. Maybe you've heard of him before. And Jesus, you know, was a guy who had incredible power. In fact, it's believed by Christians for centuries, and I believe it as well, that Jesus was both God and man at the same time. And it's amazing how that all fits together. And so we can learn something. I can learn something. You can learn something from Jesus and how he built his core, how he grew and actually became the person that he became. In fact, in the book of Luke, we get a little glimpse into his life. Here's what it says in chapter 2, verse 40, and then following in verse 52. It says, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him." And then on to verse 52, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Now, Jesus, you know, obviously had one leg up on the competition. I mean, he was fully God and he was fully man at the same time. And so it says God's grace was on him right there, which is something that he cannot do for himself. This means that there was a sense of God's grace coming down on Jesus, just like you and I. You know, God's grace is not something we can generate for ourselves. It's something that we receive, but it's something that comes from outside of ourselves. And so for Jesus, God's grace was on him in various ways, but I don't want you to miss right there this key thing in this passage right here, that Jesus didn't just become who he became by just existing. All right, I mean, for Jesus, you know, he didn't become the most powerful figure in all of human history, you know, just because he decided that that's what he wanted to do. He actually grew in that. There were actually things that he did that caused him to grow in his stature and in his wisdom. You know, there were core exercises, core fitness training things that he did that actually built his core, that caused him to increase in wisdom, that caused him to be able to endure through difficult things. And these core, you know, exercises were the things that actually led, among other things, to his greatness. And so, you know, I think for all of us, we want to experience those things, right? I mean, we want to, you know, we want spiritual things to happen to us. We want to experience the transcendent. That's why we're all here today. And so, you know, in order to experience that at its highest level, there are certain things that we have to build in. And while we might not all call it this, see, here's how we kind of operate. We look for these lightning bolt moments. You know, these moments where, you know, we want to know and sense God, and we just kind of expect God to, like, strike down and strengthen us. Just kind of like Turbo there. You know, all of a sudden he got infused with nitrous, and oh, he's great, and he's fast, and everything's going his way. We like God to work that way, and, you know, we have these moments where it's like, oh, that was great. That was God. I didn't even do anything to create this event. I just experienced God in that moment right there. And sometimes we see other people having those moments, and then we're like, whoa, what, has God forgot about me? I mean, where's the lightning bolt for my life? And we see people experiencing these transcendent experiences with God and seeing God moving, and yet if we don't begin to see those happening in our life, we're like, God, what's the problem? The problem must be with you, God. And we start to get in this position where we're like, God, you're not doing for me what you're doing in other people's lives. Why is that? And what we try to do is we try to go and try to seek out the lightning bolt moments. We're like, oh, it must be at a different church. Let me go to a different church and see if I have a lightning bolt moment right there. You know, we look at the next spiritual guru, the latest writings of the next New Age guy, and you know, we're like, oh, those people have transcendent experiences. I'm going to go there. And what we don't realize is that lightning, you know, when you're looking for a lightning strike, you're always just guessing and wondering where it's going to strike next. And when we're left looking out, seeing all these people having these transcendent experiences, and we're like, man, God, you're not doing that for me, we begin to get a little bitter. And that bitterness eventually leads to doubt, and then that doubt begins to kind of form and develop and grow, and it leads to this abandonment of our faith, and eventually to agnosticism, maybe even to atheism. And see, all of this is founded in the understanding or the belief that I should just be able to go through life, just kind of do my thing, my way, and man, God's just going to have these lightning bolt moments that just, you know, whoa, man, that was cool. God just moved in my life right there. And it doesn't work that way. I mean, I can, you know, in my life, I mean, sure, lightning bolts happen. I mean, you know, they happen every now and then. We all like that. We like to see just the hand of God move in some mysterious way. But listen, for me, I could probably count on one hand the number of lightning bolt moments, maybe like on three fingers, if I'm really honest. I mean, these just don't happen that way. But in the survey of my life, as I look through all the greats throughout the Bible, you know, I just see that those things are not really normal every now and then. And if we want to experience that, we have to develop our core. There's certain things we do that allow us to see those things. I mean, when I was in with my doctor a few years ago, and he said, you know, Kurt, you know, you really need to start, like, exercising a little more, doing some crunches. I don't walk out of that and go, I don't need to do those things. Dr. Dewey, why would I start those things? I can strengthen my core just because I want to think about it right now. I mean, I don't expect it to happen that way. But for some reason, when it comes to our spiritual life, we just think, man, I should just grow. God should just do this stuff in my life, like this lightning bolt moment, and make everything great and well. And it just doesn't happen. So I want to look at four things today. I want to look at four accelerators to build the core. Four things, you know, exercises that you and I can do that actually allow us to broaden our core, to build our core. And these are central. These are foundational. Remember, the core fitness is exercising what matters. All right, so the first core accelerator is the Bible. All right, the Bible. And you might want to write these down. You might want to say, okay, where am I at? Where am I missing in some of these core experiences? So the first is the Bible. You see, when I look at Jesus' life, I look at the Bible being something that ran through his life. Of course, he created part of it. I mean, they wrote about his life. That was part of it. But even the Old Testament, this was something he knew through and through. See, he increased in wisdom because he knew the Scriptures. He increased in his stature and his power because the Bible had a central role in his life. See, the Bible is the story of God's work in the world. It's the story of God's character. When I read the Bible, it tells me what bums God out. When I read the Bible, it tells me what God gets all amped up and excited about. When I read the Bible, it tells me what God gets angry with. And so, you know, these are the things that happen when we engage and we take in the Scriptures. You know, Jesus, every now and then he would bump into somebody who was really frustrated with him. It happened pretty frequently. And on a couple occasions, he actually would kind of respond to those individuals. See, they couldn't figure out why he had all these transcendent experiences, why God was always evident when he was around and in and through his life. And in fact, here's what he said to one of them one time in Mark 12. He said, "Are you not in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God?" I mean, he's like, you know, don't you understand that you're actually wrong right here because you don't understand the Scriptures? There's something about understanding the wisdom that comes from the Scriptures. And when you do that, you actually experience and see the power of God. You know, I have this tendency to lust as a guy. I have this tendency to lust. And why is it that when I work on that, I've actually been able to make a lot of progress? Well, one of the reasons is because when I read things like what Jesus said, we said, you know, when you lust after someone, then you actually, it's like committing adultery in your heart. Now, of course, you know, physical adultery obviously has a lot more, a lot more collateral damage, a lot more relational damage. But nonetheless, what he's saying is when you have these thoughts about someone that you're not married to and you begin to go sexual with that, then this actually weakens your core. This actually brings down your core strength. And I get educated. I read that in the Bible. I'm like, no, I need to do this. I need to grow in this way because it actually builds my core. See, when I read the Bible, I get what God gets angry about. I get what God gets excited about. I get what bums God out. And because these are his words that are literally speaking and reformatting our lives. If you don't have a Bible, we love to give them away here at Crosspoint. We make them free out at Connection Point. You can see Eric, and he'd love to get you one. And we do this because, you know, we realize, I mean, Crosspoint, you know, if you don't know how to use the Bible, there's all kinds of tools there. You can go on Google and search a topic that you want to know about, and it'll give you all kinds of references. And then you actually open the Bible up to the beginning, and inside there's an index, and it will tell you, like, what book to go to. You go across, there's a page, and you find the page. And some of you are like, come on, Kurt, this is elementary. But listen, you see, Crosspoint was created for people who, you know, really didn't know how to do this kind of stuff. And so we want to give you some of those tools. There's all kinds of things you can get in your email, which is on the next, one of your next steps today is mark and say, I just want to receive a daily email of Scripture. It's one of the great, great ways to actually, you know, read God's Word is just have it emailed to you every day. We'll send you a link to set that up because you see, there's something powerful of receiving God's Word and allowing it to begin to communicate to my life. This is one of the core strengthening things that Jesus did. Another thing Jesus did as he pulls community around him. See, it's fascinating that Jesus is actually born into a family. See, if God could have done it by himself, I think he would have. But he had his own son actually be born not only spiritually, but physically into a literal family. It's like he has built-in community right from the start. And this is huge. And then later on, he has this guy, a cousin of his by the name of John, John the Baptist, who kind of builds into Jesus, kind of prepares the way for Jesus, checks in with him every now and then, and spiritually stays in touch with him. And then later in Jesus' life, you know, he actually pulls 12 men around him that he pours himself into, his disciples, his followers, and he builds into them, he teaches them. These are the guys that are with him at the end when he realizes he's about to die. He pulls these 12, or at least at that point 11 guys, you know, to the cross so they can be there in those last days with him. Because even Jesus wasn't perfect at picking people, right? I mean, he picked a couple losers. One was a big loser. All the other ones had a lot of problems. But nonetheless, he valued community. He valued this. See, we need to learn to do the right things and have the right people in our lives so we can do the right things at the right times. Let me say that again. We need to learn to have the right people in our lives so we can do the right things at the right times. That's what community does. It's syncing up with somebody who's spiritually going in the same direction so they can be there when I need assistance, when I need help. This is a core strengthening exercise. You know, something in about 8-9 weeks from today, we're going to start something that's probably the most important thing we'll do over the next year. It's called an all-church journey, and we do these each and every fall. And if you're newer to Crosspoint, if you've not been around here for a full year, then this is going to be a great experience for you. This is a time where for 6 weeks, this entire Crosspoint community gets on the same page, meaning our children's environments, our student environments, what happens here in the auditorium, everybody's going to be studying the same material. We're going to be giving you journals and free stuff that you can write and kind of track your spiritual growth through the experience. And then we have this thing called small groups that happen. They kind of launch during this all-church journey. And we're looking for 30 small groups because we want to have a place for every single adult that connects in our services on Sunday morning to get into a small group experience. And I get the excuses all the time. Sometimes we have people like, man, I've never been in a small group. I'm not interested in it. All we ask is you give it a shot for 6 weeks. In fact, there's even an opt-out time at the end of the 6 weeks where you can bail and you'd be like, hey, I'm out of this thing. It was good for six, but I'm done. But you know, we've just noticed, here's what we've noticed. We've noticed you can come to weekend services and you're going to grow to a certain point. You can journal in the stuff that we give you, some of the resources, and you're going to grow to a certain point. But your growth, your spiritual growth just, you know, takes a hard trajectory up and to the right when you engage in community. I mean, when you engage in a dialogue with other people who are trying to figure this out as well, who are searching for what it means to follow God's way and talking about what that looks like in their lives and vice versa, there's just a growth that happens that takes us to an entirely new place. And some of you have gone through this. If you're interested in hosting a group, you know, we need 30 groups. That's a third more than we've ever needed as we've gone through one of these things because of some of the growth we've had. If you're interested in hosting one of these, you can mark that on the back of your card under Sign Me Up. Just mark the box there. And listen, we have high requirements to host a group, though. You have to be breathing. And you have to be able to read, and you need to have a place, whether it's your home or Starbucks, you need to have a place to gather people, 10 to 12 people, and we'll give you everything else. You'll be able to lead through everything else because you're really just hosting the experience. The material will guide the experience. And so, you know, the key here is we need to be in community, and we're big about creating community here at Crosspoint. All right, third thing, next accelerator that Jesus did was he prayed. He prayed. Now, Jesus didn't just say, hey, I'm going to increase my prayer life and do it. He didn't just decide and kind of say, okay, I'm just going to do this right now. He actually built a system. He had a system that actually allowed him to grow and go to new places. And, you know, just like if I want to build my cardiovascular system, I don't just say, okay, I'm going to go do that today. And then I go sit on the couch and decide it but not do it. He actually understands you have to put work in to actually going to where you want to go. And so, you know, for instance, Jesus said this. We get a glimpse of it right here in Mark chapter 1. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So apparently, Jesus had a system. And part of his system was getting up early in the morning and going out and spending time talking to God in a quiet place. Now, this can happen in a variety of ways, all right? This is, you know, we always have this idea of, oh, man, I got to get down for 30 minutes like this, and I have to. No, I mean, this can happen while you're driving to work. All right, I would not recommend closing your eyes while you're doing that. But you know, you can be driving to work in your commute and just act like Jesus is sitting next to you. How would you talk to Jesus if he were riding with you to work? Your language might change a little bit, you know, when you're in rush hour. But I mean, just think of it. You know, what would I tell Jesus if my best friend was sitting in my front seat going to work? Man, Jesus, I'm dealing with this today. I got this big meeting. Man, I really want to make the right decision. Just talk to God. Well, Jesus, while you go to work, you know, you can journal. One of the best ways to start praying is to journal. Just write your thoughts to God as if you're writing them a letter. Or if you're creative, you can draw things. Draw something. I mean, God's a creator. He'll get that. I mean, there's many, many ways that we can pray. Now, I want to hit the pause button for a moment. Because, I mean, we got the Bible. We got Jesus does community, prayer. You know, one of the reasons that I abandoned some of these things a number of years ago, for a period of time, was because I got tired of being clubbed over the head and kind of guilted into feeling like, oh, I got to do all this. It's all, you know, prescriptive, and I got to do an hour before I go to work, and I got to be in a small group circle every week, and I just got kind of tired of those things. Listen, the point is not to read the Bible, all right? That's not the point of life, all right? If you got a big leather-bound Bible, that's great. That's not the point, okay? I'm glad you have a Bible. I hope you're reading it and doing what it says, but the point is not just reading the Bible. Right, the point is not, you know, sitting in a circle and singing Kumbaya every week, you know, just saying, oh, I got in a circle every week. That's not the point, all right? The point is not just, you know, saying, I don't think Jesus was like, oh, you have to have a block of time before you go to work in the morning. It could be any time of the day. It could be while you're working out. It could be while you're doing something else. Just some time to connect and talk to God. You see, the point isn't the exercise. The point is the fitness. Because you see, one of the things Jesus understood was there are certain things that you're going to go through in your life, and you're not going to have the spiritual capacity to endure through them if you don't have a system to build your core. There's certain things you want in your life you're not going to get if you're not building your core. See, the point isn't the exercise. The exercise gets us to the result. Fourth accelerator, and this is a big one here. You'll hear us talk about this all the time here at Crosspoint. I think this is the most important one, and that is serving, volunteering. And here's why I think that's the most important one. So I think one of the biggest problems in our culture today, if you could sum it up in one word, all the marriages that have struggled, all the businesses that have failed, you know, because of somebody, doing a bad deal on business, or, you know, all the friendship relationships that have gone south, I think probably in almost every situation you could boil that down to the word called selfishness. Somebody was only thinking about themselves, only worried about themselves, only worried about what's in it for them, only worried about their benefits instead of the good of the team, only worried in their marriage about what am I getting out of this instead of what am I putting into this. And you see, when we serve, when we volunteer, and listen, we need volunteers here, but it's not just because we need volunteers. We need volunteers because we keep growing. But we believe that when you volunteer, when you serve, when you do something outside of yourself that you ordinarily wouldn't do, then you're actually creating a pathway. You're creating a habit. You're creating a trend in your life. You're creating a new way where you're actually, instead of going down the pathway of selfishness, you're actually creating a new trend of selflessness. You're saying, you know, I'm going to serve. I'm going to show up a little early and greet somebody at the front door. You're actually creating a trend. You're actually doing something beyond yourself. And when we do this, we actually create a trend away from selfishness and towards selflessness. And this was at the core of what Jesus was about. In fact, the great writer of wisdom in Proverbs said this. He said, a generous person will prosper. I mean, somebody who's generous, who isn't just focused on themselves, but is constantly saying, how can I be about other people? He said, you're actually going to prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. It's interesting. Interesting that when we actually give of ourselves to others, we actually, in some mysterious way, in some mystical way, we're refreshed. You know, every now and then I'll be in a conversation with somebody and they'll say, you know, man, Kurt, I'm just ready to go to the next place spiritually. What do I need to do? And you know what my first question is? Where are you serving? Where are you giving your life away to someone else? Where are you doing something that allows you to grow beyond just meeting your needs, but you're actually beginning to be attuned to the needs of other people and not just what you need? In fact, you know, when I meet with people in marriage crisis and dealing with intimacy issues, you know, it's interesting because at the core of nearly every single one of those is selfishness. I mean, you know, think about sexuality. I mean, you know, the act of sex is really something about giving to your partner, not about me receiving. In a marriage, nearly every marriage breakdown has to do with someone getting selfish. If you want to begin to create a pathway out of those things, then you begin to serve. Whether it's here at Cross Point or across the street or here at one of these schools or with the kids' sports program, somewhere in the community. It's a pathway. It's a pathway. So these are the four things. And obviously there's many, many more disciplines, but these are the four disciplines. I mean, there's things like solitude, there's things like, you know, financial generosity, there's things like, you know, fasting, there's things like, you know, anonymous serving where you're not getting any strokes for what you're doing, you're like quietly, secretively serving someone and not letting anybody see it. Those are all great disciplines as well, but these core four disciplines, these are the core things that actually build the core of who we are. Now, I want to pause for a moment again because I know how some of us are feeling. We're looking at that like, oh, Kurt, I get where you're going. I see it. I get the connection between the physical and the spiritual. I know exactly where it's going. Here's the problem. I'm not a disciplined person. All right, that's the problem. I'm just not disciplined. Listen, as far as I've read through all of, you know, the reading I've done over the years, paying attention half of the time in science class, you know, I've never heard of something called a discipline gene. All right, I never heard of that. Discipline doesn't come in the form of a gene. I wish it did. I would have been a lot better off if it would have come as a gene. But you see, it's something we have to develop where I'm just like, I'm just not disciplined. Like in high school. I was one of those kids who, you know, when it come to the standardized tests, like the I-STEP, I'd get 100 percentile on all those. And then my mom would look at my grade card and it'd be like a 2.4 solid GPA, you know. And she'd look at me and she's like, Kurt, there's a problem. I don't understand, you know, how you do so well. You're so capable and yet you perform so poorly. And I'm like, you know, I'm just not disciplined. And I also knew that there was a lot of fun between an A and a C. There was a lot of work that went into getting the A that, you know, you didn't have to do to get a C. But see, I'm not disciplined. Here's what I learned. What was interesting about this. Now, if you saw me on the basketball court, I was disciplined. But I found that whatever you care about is what you discipline yourself on. Whatever you care about, you discipline yourself on. For instance, you know, I think probably for most of us, we like having lights on in our house, right? I mean, you like to come home and turn the lights on. And, you know, can you imagine getting a call from Duke Energy and it's kind of like, ma'am, did you know it's been 3 months since you've paid your bill? And you're just kind of like, oh, my word, you know, I'm just not disciplined. I mean, the idea of, like, walking all the way down the driveway, you know, and actually opening that thing up called the mailbox, and, it, man, I have to reach in and grab the mail, and then I have to sort through it all, and they have to find the Duke bill and open it up and take out the statement and look at what it says, and then I have to go find my checkbook and or log on to my online banking, and then I have to put your address in, and I have to send. I'm just not that disciplined. No, that's ridiculous, right? You're like, no, we do those things because we care about having lights on, right? What you care about is what you discipline yourself on. See, anything you want to have, any area of your life that you want something in, you know there are certain things you have to do to get to that place. The same is true spiritually. So, a couple little quick hitters, little jump starters as we wrap this up. How to get started with these. The first is start somewhere. All right, start somewhere. All right, find a place and start. All right, when it comes to your core, you got to just start doing something. You know, for me, I spend 30 to 40 minutes in the morning before I hit the office, you know, reading the Bible and prayer most days. All right, it's about 5 days a week. I can't tell you the last time I did 7 days a week. I'm going to be really honest with you. All right, and for some of you do that, that's great. You know, for me, and I hesitate sharing that with you a little bit because you're like, oh, my pastor doesn't, you know, do this every day. It's just like I don't get down and do planks every day, all right? Sometimes I go a week without doing the planks. Sometimes I'll go a week without doing my core spiritual stuff. I don't encourage it, but, you know, you just start somewhere. I mean, sign up for those daily emails or start spending a little time talking to God on the way into work. And don't go for 7 days. Try five. I mean, don't set yourself up to fail because, you know, as soon as you miss one, you're like, oh, I'm already out. You know, listen, if you do one day this week, you're actually 1 day further down the road than you were last week, right? And in fact, get this. If you do 3 minutes a day for the next 2 weeks, you've actually spent more time than 95% of people in this room doing core spiritual growth. 95%, 3 minutes a day for 2 weeks. All right, it just start somewhere. All right, you got to start. All right, another thing we can do is do what works. Number two, do what works. I was in our doctor's office the other day with my daughter waiting to get some shots for her, and I picked up a men's fitness magazine that was sitting there, started reading it, and I started doing this. Oh, my word, I had no idea that's how you did that fitness routine right there. Man, they're saying you need to do this many reps. I only do this many reps. And all of a sudden, I'm like, man, do I need to change my routine? What should I do? And you know what? You know what routine is best for you? It's the one you're currently doing. All right. Now, if you're not doing one, you need to start one. All right. But if you're doing a routine, sometimes we see something, we're always, going to this and to that. Just keep doing the one that you're doing. All right. I've had Bible scriptures up here on screen throughout the morning. All right. You most of you don't have a paper Bible in front of your hands. You're getting the Bible on the screens. Sometimes we think, man, I've got to be sitting like this with a paper Bible and flipping through in order to get the Bible. No. You can order a CD with the audio Bible. You can actually have an email sent to you with an audio link where you can listen to the Bible as you go to work. Mark that on your connection card, and we'll send you a link to it. All right, there's a number of things you can do that actually allow you to just do what works, do what fits into your schedule, and spend a little time connecting with God. When it comes to prayer, do what works for you. If you like writing, journal. If you like drawing, draw a picture to God. Walk and talk to God at the same time. Just like a week and a half ago, when we got this news that we had a co-signer, one of our strategic partners came alongside us to co-sign our loan so we get this building started. I just happened to be driving by our launch pad when that text came into me. I mean, my immediate thing I did, I pulled my car over, drove into the property, and I just did like a prayer lap around the property. I was so excited. Now, I wasn't like praying like this, God, thank you, stumbling on the land. No, I was like walking. I was eyes open, praying for the neighbors. God, I pray for these homes behind us. I pray that in some way these people might come to know God if they don't already through Crosspoint. I was praying for people that were driving by. I was visualizing what was going to take place when, this launch pad gets up and we have this environment that's present all week long and the ways that God can use that to touch people's lives. I was praying. I was talking out loud to God as I was walking around. All right, community, a number of ways to do community. Get with somebody who's going the same direction and connect with them. Let them be an encouragement to you. Serving, all kinds of ways to serve around here. Mark that on the back of your card. We'll help hook you up. Eric will email you this week. Last thing, last jump starter. Be patient with the gains. Be patient with the gains. You don't go to the gym 3 times and then walk out and think, man, I'm ready to run a marathon today. We don't do that physically because we know that's not the case. We know that's not going to work. But what happens is when you begin to do these core exercises before long, I mean, it's like you're in the office and you're late to a meeting, you go running up the stairs and you have to go up 10 flights of stairs to get to the board meeting or something like that. And you get up there and the person that was late next to you is running up as well. And they get up there and they're like, and you like sit down at the table and you're just sitting there and you can like talk normal. And you're like, oh my word, I've been working out for 3 months and now I can tell it's impacting me. That the gains actually come. You got to be patient with the gains. Or maybe it's when you're at work and there's all kinds of layoffs going on and you're like, it's amazing because I'm not really stressed right now. I mean, I've been reading the Bible and I remember this thing that said how God would, give me this peace that actually passes the things that I'm dealing with on a daily basis, even when things go south. Oh my word, I think I've been reading that, this peace that passes understanding. It's actually happening. I'm actually experiencing it because God's word is building into me. Or you see that neighbor down the road and you realize that, man, I used to judge that person because, they have a different political view than I do. And so I used to think I was superior to them, but I've been reading about judging people in the Bible. I'm realizing, man, I shouldn't be doing that. Now, I still may not agree with them, but I'm not going to judge them anymore. Oh, my word, I'm growing. God's actually using this to grow me. See, what happens is you've been training yourself, and now you're beginning to experience the payoff. This is what happens with core fitness. Let's take a moment and pray. God, I'm praying that you would just help us to see things. Right now, I mean, even in this moment, to maybe see some of the places where our core is weak. God, help us to see some of the core fitness exercises that we're maybe a little depleted in, that we just need to add in, not in a prescriptive way, but in a way that will help us grow and experience you in increased ways. They'll bring about more transcendent experiences, moments where we're not surprised that you're working in a situation because we've actually been preparing for it. You've been preparing us for it. Times when we might be able to actually see how you're working because we're attuned to you spiritually. God, I know there are people sitting here today that are going to have trouble coming their way. Whether it's later today, tomorrow, in a month, in a week, in a year, in 10 years. God, help us to see. Maybe we're, if that came right now, I don't know that I would have the strength to endure through. I don't know that I have the capacity to go through something difficult if I lost a child, if I lost my spouse. God, build into me. Help me develop a core so that whatever comes my way, I can stabilize. God, there's some of us that are dealing with addictions. We're dealing with sin issues that we've received your grace for, but we've never really been able to move out. And help point us to the core exercise that might help us develop the strength and the stamina and the wisdom and the stature that will actually take us to new places spiritually. God, I really believe, because I've experienced it myself, I believe that there is power in the name of Jesus. And God, that you can actually take us. You can train us to go to entirely new places. And I pray, God, that would just begin here.